Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugalpul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land and elders of my recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, today's program. Today you're going to hear the highlights of last Friday's event where LinkUp celebrated the fifth anniversary of the apology by the former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. There was a group of people, Stolen Generation people, elders, community people, and a big mob of others that gathered at the Aboriginal Centre for Performing Arts over in Kangaroo Point for this great day. We broadcast Let's Talk from over there last Friday, and now you can hear the highlights of the actual event itself, where Kevin Rudd, Dr. Norman Sheehan, Les Collins sang a song, Uncle Des Sandy actually did the opening and welcomed the country. And he is Uncle Des now. Uncle Des Sandy is a Yugambeh Mananjali man, and he actually presenting the welcome to country.
Jingawala wala nyin, na wunnam, na jimbalangs, ananong na barang, murimbitinin, gurinyan jambal gogam beren melgo, mara, namara, mogwai dan. As I said before, everybody knows, probably know what a mogwai is. Well, grandma used to say in the old days, always go back to the old days, whether it's 30, 20, 70 years ago. Grandma used to say, you Jarjans better get home before dark, otherwise that mogwai will get you. You know, that's what a mogwai is, a ghost or a spirit. So the tyre, which is a place of, and we've chosen this place here today to do our ceremony. The burl, which is the learning. We learn something each and every day. Well, I do anyway. I have a sneaking suspicion that I really don't know everything. But, hey. And the border. There's the border with a circle of us people. Right? All together. So there's no strangers here now. Only people we haven't met. And once again, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to, welcome me, to welcome you. I can feel it, I love it, yeah. Love you people. And thanks very much.
Thank you, Uncle Des Sandy. The next speaker is Dr. Norm Sheehan, an Associate Professor at the Centre for Indigenous Knowledge and Design Anthropology at Swinburne University of Technology. Norm Sheehan was the author of the book Stolen Generations Education. This book has been produced by a LinkUp who was funded by the Queensland Office of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health to produce this education kit on the Stolen Generations. Norm Sheehan is a Wiradjuri man born in Mudgee, New South Wales, brought up in a Catholic institution. And here's a few words from Norm.
The thing about starting to talk about Stolen Generations is when you start talking, the emotions start flowing and the stories start flowing, and people talk as long as they need to talk. In a circle of 25 to 30 people, it took us an hour and a half to get round once. And that idea of talking it through pain is something that we don't get much opportunity to do. So if anything came out of this, it was the idea that LinkUp probably needs to get our clients together sometime quite soon, for quite an extended time, to talk through how we progress from here, how we progress as groups of people healing themselves from here, from our own point of view. I know that the song that Uncle Les just sang, some people, even very tough people, had to leave the room when that song sung. I know my way of dealing with these issues is to think and to work and to do research. And one of the things that I concentrate on is two ideas. There's social violence and there's cultural violence. If you understand the injury, generally, you can find a way to make things easier for the people suffering from the injury. Now, social injury is quite different. I would say that our white Australians have been carrying social injuries for many, many generations. And our Aboriginal people have had social injuries thrust upon them only very recently in our history. So this idea of social injury is something that I would ask us all after this event to start thinking about, and we'll convene a place where we can talk about this as a community, because the idea of social injury doesn't fit well with Western culture and society. There's a focus on the individual in Western culture and society, believing that if you heal individuals or cure individuals, you cure social ills. But social healing is something that's part and parcel of our communities. And cultural healing is something part and parcel of our communities. It's a huge gift and opportunity that we have, that perpetrators of violence of this kind don't. And it's something that remains untapped in medicine and in health programs. So I think we've got an enormous opportunity to move forward and to bring some new knowledge into our systems and to spread that knowledge among ourselves and our communities and do something. And I made a bet with the Yarning Circle. I bet that I could get their ideas together in a couple of minutes and $50 each, remember? And I gave cards to people. Write one word on a card. And what you get that from that is one word, then you pass the card on the next word. You pass the card on the next word. And you get a stream of words. And anybody who's done any academic work knows you get a stream of words, you've got a research project. And I said, start with the worst. The worst thought that you had when you listened to the apology. And I got lists like this. First word is fear. Okay? Now, there are lots of other words on this list. Some of them, because I said the worst word, I can't repeat. Some of them are pretty nasty. And rightly so. Because there is a lot of anger there. If you're injured, socially injured, there's got to be anger. You know, people talk about the adrenaline in the body. There's social adrenaline, how people respond to trauma. None of these things have been considered in looking at healing. The next word in this list is okay. The next word is happy, then relief, then happiness, then at last, and then sadness, then reconciliation, then self-determination. And I got this list last, and I wrote on it a plan, because that's my head, that's the way I work. I think, now there's something, how are we going to make this work? And I think we need to get together and try and make it work. Because I think we've got the resilience, as Uncle Kevin said, and I think we've got the spirit, and I know we've got the ability. So thanks very much for today. Thanks for the Yarning Circle members, particularly the aunties there who really shared a great deal with us, even though in all these things there's conflicts there. We know about the conflicts and the pain from the past and everything else. We'll get over those things eventually. It might take as many generations as we've been experiencing them, but we'll get over them. So thanks very much, Uncle Des and everybody, and we'll catch up later. We'll organise a proper meeting where we can sit and talk for a couple of days at least and do some real hard looking at these things. Thank you, everybody.
You're listening to a special program bringing you the highlights of the 5th anniversary of the apology that was organised by Link Up at the Aboriginal Centre for Performing Arts last Friday at Kangaroo Point. Now we're going to hear from Les Collins. Les is singing a song, Great Moments. Les Collins is a First Nations man, been here in Brisbane for many, many years, goes back to the early days of establishing our local community-controlled organisations. Les actually worked in different organisations and assisted in establishing quite a number of them. Here's his song, Great Moments.
With all of our hearts. said sorry to you who stole it, to your mums and your dads, to your brothers, to your sisters, and the joy you could have had for the shameful things that happened, for those horrendous laws. Sorry, we are sorry for all that they caused. Great, great moments there are. Great moments that leave their mark on our lives, like the day when Australia apologized. Great moments there are. He said sorry, they're sorry with all of their hearts. Took a long time coming, heard it at last. Now I wasn't stolen, so what did this really mean? The next morning I heard a man say, now I feel like a human being. Great moments, they mark on our lives. These are moments, great moments, make the hardest man cry. Now I wasn't stolen, but now I know what this means. 'Cause the next day a man told us he now feels like a human being. Great, great moments there are. Great moments that leave their mark on our lives, like the day when Australia apologized. Great moments there are. Great moments there are.
Singing Great Moments, a song that he penned after witnessing the apology 5 years ago. That song has been adopted by Link Up, and it's an important song to a lot of those old mob, a lot of our people, Stolen Generations mob. Now we will hear from Kevin Rudd, his presentation at the event, and soon after his speech is a short interview that I was able to do with Kevin after the speech.
I begin by acknowledging the first Australians on whose land we meet and whose cultures we celebrate as the oldest continuing cultures in human history. Uncle Des, members of the Stolen Generation, what extraordinary resilience. What an extraordinary determination to live, to survive, to prosper, to triumph. You inspire us. To Cheryl and to my good friend Sam, who I've known since the Mesolithic period, thank you for the work which is done by Link Up. It is terrific work you've done all these years, and heartbreaking work but rewarding work in helping to heal the brokenhearted. And thank you, Les, for that beautiful song, Where Have You Gone? I hope you noticed from the program, by the way, that Les hasn't changed a bit since his photograph back then. It reminds me of some of my campaign photographs, where mysteriously I haven't changed in 15 years either. And friends, one and all, thank you for being here. I see also the State Member for Bulimba. I acknowledge your presence. State Member for South Brisbane, I think. Jackie, you hiding behind the pillar over there? Hi, how are you? And Helen Abrahams from the Brisbane City Council, local councillor, wonderful friends of mine, great supporters of Indigenous people. If I not acknowledge any other local political representatives who are here? Okay, thank you. I've had an extraordinary week. And not in the way in which most people think. It's been an extraordinary week because I have encountered afresh the strength of Indigenous Australia. On last Friday in Sydney at Government House with Governor Murray Bashir, who's an extraordinary friend of Indigenous Australia, we sat down and we gathered, as we've done the last several years, for breakfast to reflect on the apology and to hear from the Stolen Generations and to meet young kids who are coming through all of that with flying colours, off to conquer the world, Aboriginal kids from across the country. And then, just a couple of days ago in Adelaide at Reconciliation South Australia, a breakfast of 600 to 700 to celebrate and to commemorate the apology, including hundreds of people from the Stolen Generations. And to stand as I did for some time after I spoke and to listen and to hear the stories. These are extraordinary stories of human resilience and forgiveness. People often ask me or say to me, what a wonderful thing it was that a white fella like me stood up and apologised. It's not quite how I see it, really. What I find remarkable is that the apology I offered was accepted by my Aboriginal brothers and sisters. That's the miracle of the apology. And then yesterday, I think it was yesterday, can't remember really, it's Canberra, it's a different world. In the recent past, Wednesday night, there was this extraordinary concert on the lawns in front of Parliament House in Canberra, where I sort of crept up the back and sat down with a few folks to watch. And there were thousands of Indigenous people there and others celebrating, commemorating and celebrating. And I have found all of that and all of these experiences and gathering with you here this afternoon so extraordinarily strengthening for me. Hey, Rudd. White fella from Central Casting. Him. Or as they said in the song, he. So I thank you for that. You've really done a lot for me this week as well. Some have asked around the world, well, what was the apology all about? Is it just a set of words? As some of you may have heard me say once or twice before, when the apology was delivered on the 13th of February, I think I began writing it on about the 9th or 10th. I knew it had been coming for some months. Therese always says I procrastinate. My staff know that I procrastinate. But it's a bit like this. I grew up in a community in rural Queensland around Yamundi and then Nambour, just up the road here, where I did not know, really, any or many Indigenous people. It's just the truth of it. Jackie Huggins and I had an extraordinary conversation recently in a suburb of Nambour, Co in Switzerland, and we were both attending a conference and speaking to the world about reconciliation. And we're sitting down having a cup of tea saying, what are we going to say to all these people, you know, about reconciliation in Australia? They're from Germany, they're from Britain, from America, and goodness knows where. And we got talking about the apology, and I said, you know, the hard thing for me was I'd read so much, I had reflected so much, but I experienced so little. And then I told her the story, which reminds me so much of that terrible few lines that you gave to us before, which I wrote down carefully. When you're white, everything's all right, and when you're black, you should stand back. That's shocking. Shockingly true and shocking. So it was a bit like this. So Jackie and I were having this yak, this great sort of 19th century palace, wherever we were, overlooking Lake Geneva. What we're going to say. And I explained all this to her. And she said, surely in this town of Yamundi, you must have known some Indigenous people. I said, no, there was an Islander family. Are you happy with me telling this story? Okay. I should check. White fellas are notoriously insensitive as well. yeah, it's true. it's not a bad strategy either. So I said, there was an Islander family there. The Pickerings. She said, an Islander family? I said, yeah, Islander family. And there was Mrs. Pickering, her husband the Major, the boys that we went to school with at Yamundi Primary School, one of whom's name was Greg, who was about my age, and an older brother, whose name was Rod. And there were others as well. And so Jackie leans over to me and says, they weren't Islander people, they're Aboriginal people. I said, no, they're Islander people. Because they always said they were Islander people. That was the story. Because Mrs. Pick, who's long gone on to, as we called her, to receive her eternal reward, extraordinary woman, and much loved in the community, always insisted that they were from the South Sea Islands. They weren't Aboriginal. And I thought to myself, as a kid growing up, my mum, who's a Roman Catholic from Central Casting, anyone know what I mean by that? You know, sort of traditional Queensland country rural Catholic. Got the picture? Yeah, okay. All right. And mum, there's a great sort of sense of social justice about her. This was in the 60s. Every month would insist on having the Pickering boys out to play on our farm. And every other month, we'd go into the Major's place just by the Yamundi Railway Station. You know the place. You've been there, Jackie, to play with them. So these were Islander kids. I didn't know I was playing with Aboriginal kids. I thought these were kids from Fiji or somewhere, you know. And that was my completely unconscious exposure to these kids who were good playmates and good friends. And there have been some tragic ends, as I found out. And Mrs. Pick, who was so dearly loved in the community, but not able to admit that she was an Aboriginal Australian woman. And I thought to myself, how could that be? And to go back to your phrase before, shocking but shockingly true. It reminds me also of the morning of the apology. I remember standing there with Therese as we greeted everyone as they came through the ceremonial entrance, Parliament House. And this elderly lady from the Stolen Generations gave her a big cuddle and a big kiss and come into our place, go this way, a cup of tea over there. And she said to Therese later on that, and she would have been in her 70s, that I was the first white fella ever to kiss her. I just find that shocking. So a lot of these things are shocking, but they actually need to be said because they're part of the shared and lived experience of my brothers and sisters who are here today. So when people say, well, what's the apology? It's a set of words. Well, at one level it is, but I have thought long and hard about it before writing it. And when I sat down with Nana Fijo, who came from near Tennant Creek and who was ripped away from her family at the age of five by black trackers working on behalf of the protector of natives, and then lost contact, it was when I just began to grasp in my heart the extraordinary humiliation, degradation, and plain bastardry by white Australians, that it is only at that point that you can grasp in the pit of your stomach the need to say sorry. And others, particularly blokes, I've got to say, because we're notoriously bad at navigating our emotions. The aunties are much better, by the way, just generally speaking. Black, white, brindle, everyone. You know, aunties are just generally better in my experience. it was really important to respond to blokes saying, yeah, but that's just all words. What's the substance of it? But I've said to many fellows around the country from white Australia, Indigenous Australia, if you and your personal relationships and your family relationships have wronged somebody, you can't just walk in the door 3 or 4 years later and say, okay, now let's just get on and go shopping together. It just doesn't work because there's been a wounding. It's deep, it's profound, it's spiritual, it's in the soul, it's in the heart, it's in the emotions, it's in the psychology, it's in the whole person. And so to say sorry was, in my conclusion, absolutely fundamental to rebuild a bridge of spiritual connection between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. And so in putting out the hand of saying I'm sorry, the leap of faith was this: what would be said back? And I was blown away when my hand was accepted. That is the miracle of the apology. I think something else happened too with the apology, which is that white Australia sort of looked at this and they felt some of this transforming spirit as well. And then the amazing thing, which people like Jackie and myself have experienced around the world, is, and lo and behold, I don't think white Australians were really conscious of this, the world was watching. There's a funny old thing about being Australians. You know how we always see ourselves as the country of freedom, the fair go, out there, creative, enterprising, slashing on the, you know, on the back foot, four to the boundary, 6 points through the middle, you know, all that sort of stuff. That's us, okay? Freedom, fair go, you know, out there, doing things. And the rest of the world has seen that for hundreds of years, from Gallipoli on. But the rest of the world has always been scratching the back of their head about what is it about this land of the fair go that could treat Indigenous Australians as second-class and third-class citizens. And worse, as some have said. And that was the reservation in people's minds. And a lot of, and I used to be in the diplomatic service, you run around the world, and every now and then, in the politest of company, after you'd had a few, and not that I've had a few, but the they would touch on this very sensitive subject. You think, but we're not like that. But yes, we were. And so around the world, they finally looked at this bunch of people for whom they had some respect, that is Australians, and realised that finally white Australia had begun, I use the word advisedly, to turn a corner. And I remember just after that, I was, I think, off to London and Brussels met the President of the European Commission. His first lines to me, what an extraordinary speech. I said, when I'd just given one on foreign policy somewhere, I said, oh, I didn't think it was that bright. And he said, no, the apology, you dill. And And he said their entire commission secretariat in Brussels, that people had run the European Union, each of the commissioners, the president of the commission, sat and watched it live on CNN, and as it was right around the world. I didn't know anything about that. I was just trying to get the words right and not tear up in the middle of it, which I would have thought would have been monstrously self-indulgent on my part, given that the tears probably belonged elsewhere. So when people ask what was the essential business of this apology, it was doing this deep emotional work. Part two, of course, is closing the gap. As I said at the time, words without deeds are a dead letter, a clanging cymbal, a sounding gong. And what I'm proud about, but I think is just of itself important, is the fact that we now have fixed targets, fixed timelines, and robust data to test whether we are closing the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians in early childhood education, in literacy and numeracy, in year 12 retention, in employment, in Indigenous child mortality, in longevity. These things have to be done. The good news 5 years on is that in five or six of those measures, we've actually made measurable progress. In one of them, literacy and numeracy, we're not. But I am so grateful that we are now got to the stage where, as a country, we can stand up each year, as I required each of my successors to do for the time immemorial into the future, to report on Apology Day to the Parliament of the Commonwealth of Australia where we have succeeded and where we have failed, proven by the data. That's a step forward. There's more work to be done. There's constitutional recognition, and this is the third and remaining great area of the much troubled project that we have long called reconciliation. But we have embarked on this journey, and we've made some steps in the right direction. The thought I'd leave you with in this great gathering today of all my Aboriginal brothers and sisters here in the community which I represent physically in the Australian Parliament in Brisbane Southside is again to say to each and every one of you, thank you. Because in my experience of the last week or so, I have felt so strengthened by the strength and the generosity of spirit that I've encountered in you good folk right across the country. I've also said this: had I been an Indigenous Australian, had I been an Aboriginal kid like Greg Pickering or Rodney Pickering, deceased, and then some grey-haired white fella finally stands up and delivers a nice-sounding speech, I'm not sure I would have said, I accept your apology. I may have said, you can take two to the valley. It's an ancient Queensland expression, by the way. It's from the dream time. It's part of the ancient carvings. I think everyone here knows what I mean. So I'm not sure I would have been that generous if I'd been through all of that. And I have been so strengthened by your solidarity, your friendship, even being called Uncle Kev, that you've put a genuine spring in my step this last week in what is a fairly arduous life called the national politics of the Commonwealth of Australia. Lastly, some have said, so what are the future? What I'd say to each and every one of you is this: whatever the future holds for me, please know this, so long as I draw breath, I intend to be in the trenches with you. I thank you.
Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, thanks for this opportunity to sit down and talk with you.
Happy to do it.
The apology 5 years on, what was the environment like, the political environment like at the time when you decided it's time to make an apology?
Well, we'd made a commitment to the Australian people that we would. What I didn't know was whether it would work. I didn't know whether it'd be received or accepted by Aboriginal Australians. I didn't know how the white community would react. I had no idea. In fact, I feared probably a racist reaction. And on top of that, I had no idea that the world would be watching. So how do I reflect on that? A bit of a leap of faith, really. But the important thing for me was to get the words right so at least I could satisfy my own conscience that I had said what was right and true.
There was mention of compensation for Stolen Generations. Where's that at?
There's still a discussion in various quarters about that. I've said yesterday in an interview with Indigenous Television, I believe it's now time for a national conversation about this because there are many members of the Stolen Generation who haven't just suffered physical damage, psychological damage, cultural damage, but they've actually suffered financially as well. And so I think it's time for a conversation about this. I think it was right to do the apology in its own terms 5 years ago, but I think we've probably got to the stage now where we need to have a properly informed and non-emotional conversation about what's gone on and whether this should be the next step.
Last week we saw the Closing the Gap report handed down. Still, we feel in the community not a lot of change and improvement for our people, for First Nations people. Where to now for government? Have you got any ideas and where to now for government?
Yeah, Closing the Gap is a very important framework for the future. Why? It sets up fixed targets in literacy, numeracy, early childhood education, year 12 retention, infant mortality, longevity, and employment with fixed timelines, a Commonwealth-state agreement with fixed commitment of funding, some $5.2 billion, and an annual report card as to whether we're getting there or not. Prior to that, we never had that. People are just sort of, oh, we'll do a bit of this and we'll do a bit of that and let's just hope some of it works. Well, frankly, at the end of the day, I just thought that was, what's the polite Queensland term? Just bullshit. And so I thought the best way to do it was to structure it properly. Now, in the most recent report 5 years on, against those six targets we've set, we're on track to reach probably three or four of them, maybe even four or five. We're not on track to reach literacy and numeracy targets unless we really look carefully at new approaches. And that's why I delivered a speech on this the other day in Sydney. I also believe we need to add a Closing the Gap target to get equity of access to our universities for Aboriginal Australians. That means having another 10,000 Indig kids in our universities. That's where I think we've got to go next.
You've got a bit of not so much agreement, Garrett, not too supportive, it seems, with some of his statements. Got a bit of work to do within your own party?
Well, I suppose I would see myself, hopefully, creatively and constructively on behalf of my Aboriginal brothers and sisters, as a bit of a burr in the saddle. Every now and then you feel something sticking into the you-know-where. So my job is just to gently nudge the debate in a particular direction. And look, to give the Prime Minister her due, in her Closing the Gap report last week into the Parliament, she acknowledged there's underachievement in literacy and numeracy, as did the Minister. What I was simply doing was adding my thoughts in terms of how we could turn that around. So I'll leave that with the Minister for further reflection. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on that in the future.
Thanks very much, Kevin, and you keep on pushing for us because we need somebody in there speaking up.
Well, mate, as I've said here today in this wonderful gathering on the fifth anniversary of the apology here in Brisbane, in fact, in my own community here in Brisbane Southside, whatever I end up doing in the future, I see myself as being part and parcel of the Indigenous movement of Australia, if you'll continue to have me.
Don't you worry. You're welcome. See you there.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our hand, set us up on mission land, told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away. Snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away. Welcome in.
said you've got to understand, we'll give to them what you can't give, teach them how to really live, teach them how to live, they said, humiliated them instead, taught them that and taught them this, and others taught them prejudice, and took the children away, the children away, breaking our mother's heart, tearing us all apart, took them away. One dark day on Framlingham came and didn't give a damn. My mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, frightened me. Mother's tears were falling down. Dad shaped up and stood his ground. He said, you touch my kids and you fight me. Then they took us from a family, took us away. They took us away, snatched from our mother's breast, said this is for the best, took us away. Set us up again and gave us gifts to ease the pain. Sent us off to foster homes. As we grew up, we felt alone, 'cause we were acting white, yet feeling black. One sweet day, all the children came back, the children came back. The children came back where their hearts grow strong, back where they all belong. The children came back, said the children came back. The children came back where they understand, back to their mother's land. The children came back. Back to their mother, back to their father, back to their sister, back to their brother, back to their people, back to their land. All the children came back. Children came back. Yes, I came.
Listening to Let's Talk, presenting issues that affect the First Peoples of our country. Here's Tiger Bales.
That song was Took the Children Away by Archie Roach. That was Archie's own personal experience that he penned quite some years ago. Well, I hope you enjoyed the highlights of the event of the celebrating the 5th anniversary of the apology. And thanks to Cheryl Sandy, the CEO for LinkUp, and all that LinkUp team. You did a fantastic job, and it was great to be able to present the highlights to all our listeners across the country. Hope you enjoyed it. This next song is a song that was written by Garth Turrell, a man that's no longer with us, But he wrote this song after the bridge walks some years ago and some years before the apology. And this gives you an idea of the sentiment at the time, the feeling at the time, where we felt there was a need for an apology. Have a listen to this song. This man, his amazing voice, and it's an amazing song. Hope you enjoy it.
How many feet must cross bridges to show the feelings of a nation about the wrongs long ago? We know you're marching to the beat of a different drum, but stand up and be counted and do what's gotta be done. Done, done.
Why aren't you sorry for the things that happened then? Wouldn't you be sorry if they happened again? People have shown you their feelings within. Marching is one. It's time to begin. Say sorry. It's such an easy word to say. Say sorry. It'll help to take. So full of sorrow for other problems not out. You send consolation and money to shout. You don't listen to the people and you don't seem to hear. Is your head in the sand? Is the message not clear? Say sorry. It's such an easy say sorry. It'll help to take the hurt away. Say sorry. It's such an easy word to say. Say sorry. It'll help to take the hurt away. Take the hurt away.
Robina Colby reporting from the Walk of Reconciliation. Sydney Harbour Bridge, today a sea of people. 200,000 Australians walk for Indigenous Australia and reconciliation. Grey Street Bridge, Brisbane. Families, men, women and children. The lanes awash with a multitude. The sorry sign flies high. Nearly a million Australians walking, talking, voting with their feet.
Say sorry. It's such an easy word to say. Say sorry. It'll help to take the hurt.